ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Welcome to another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventure of a Thrift Store. I am Matt Lehman, the owner of Finders Thrift and Vinyl in La Quinta, California, where our tales of mystery and suspense are housed and warehoused. As always, to my right, your left, the marshmallows to my Lucky Charms, Frankie Ramirez.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
What's going on?
Now, you said, what, lovers, dreamers, and me?
Yeah, it's Rainbow Connection, oh, Kermit the Frog.
Oh, all right. Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
I'm going to edit that out later.
No, you should leave it in.
Oh, what do we have in store today? So I'm going to start out with a little story. I'm still trying to woo Craig to be on the show. Craig is a local auction buyer. He's a little leery of being on the show because he's been on Storage Wars and they didn't necessarily paint. Well, they painted him all right, but they didn't do his girlfriend any justice. And I'll let him tell that story if he ever comes on. And we were, so most storage auctions, as if this is the first time you listen, I buy and sell storage units and resell them or estates, anything like that. I resell a little bit of everything. Most auctions, storage auctions, have now gone online. There are websites where you can view and buy storage units at real auction time online, as opposed to going in person like you see on TV. There are positives and negatives to that, in my opinion. The positives are I can now travel a lot farther without actually having to leave the house. So I will actually, I'm about 2 hours outside of LA and San Diego. I can buy storage units in San Diego and Los Angeles from the ease of my house and not have to drive out there and decide if I'm going to take my box truck and waste gas or anything like that. And if I don't buy anything, great. I didn't waste any time. I'm just sitting at the shop looking at stuff online. Bad side to it, from my opinion, is you don't get a real good feel for the unit. I have bought several that I thought, even though you can see the dimensions that are 10 by 10, you don't get a real feel for how full they are, because usually the pictures aren't done very well, but more importantly, you can't smell a unit. That's my number one thing. Because if the previous owner was a smoker or had pets and didn't take care of their pets, anything in that now, clothing, furniture, is useless. I can't sell it if it's riddled with smoke or pet urine. So that's the downside of it. But any hoozles, there was an online auction yesterday, and I was texting Craig because one of the units had his name written all over it. He's one of the big players in the game. I remember him when he was little. He was just a little toddler.
Still a little guy, though.
Oh, that's not nice. He's not going to come on this show if you keep say stuff like that.
I'm not saying it in like a bad way.
That's true.
His stature.
Well, compared to the Samoan of a man that you are, yes, he's a small man. He's also young, but he's don't let that fool you. He's a big player in the game. And so there was a unit, and I personally bid up to $1,500 on it. And I knew that probably would not hold very long. The unit ended up going for $4,000.
Wow.
And he and I were talking because he was ticked off. We thought that it was probably an LA buyer. One of the biggest problems we have out here is we have LA buyers that come out here and buy our storage units because they're cheaper than buying them in LA, and then they take them back to LA and sell them there for a huge profit. It's very hard for us to compete with that. We have our ways, we have our tactics, and they usually work, but online is a whole new world. Turns out he was not from LA. Craig actually lives right down the street from this facility, and he walked over or drove over to the facility and asked them before the auction ended, hey, is this an abandoned unit or is this a lien unit? Difference being, abandoned unit means the tenant walked away from it. They pulled out whatever they wanted and said, I don't want the rest, just go ahead and sell it. Lien means they owe money on it and haven't been able to get in it, and everything that they put in there is most likely still in there. Lien is what you want, abandoned is what you don't want. They said no, it was a lien unit. They were unable to get a hold of the guy. There was, from what I could see, and when I said I bid $1,500, that's pretty high for me. I generally, I've said this before, I'm not generally one of the large, bigger buyers. I don't agree. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I just don't like spending large amounts of money on a gamble. it is what it is. It's just how I do business. And but everything in there was professionally bubble wrapped. There was lots of art. There was lots of vintage furniture. Everything was very clean. It was a large unit, 10 by 20. And it was a nice unit. It was solid. I didn't have any issues going 1500 into it. Well, Craig did not get it, but he went back to the facility after the auction and was talking to the manager. And as he was talking to the manager, someone came in and paid the $4,000 on the barrel head, flopped it down. So he called me and we started discussing. And I said, well, clearly he's not from LA, and it wasn't anybody that Craig recognized at auctions. And he hits every auction around here for sure, but he also does a lot of driving into Riverside, Orange. He'll hit LA and San Diego if there's nothing going on in the desert. He's, like I said, he's a big buyer. This is his game. The rest of us are just playing in it. But so that made us think that we think the guy must have had some connection to the unit. Like I don't think it could have been family. I think he must have had a hot tip. Because it was family, he could have just gone in and paid the bill. And there's no way that somebody owed $4,000 on in back rent. The only way that that would have happened is if he had been owed for 6 years. Because 10 by 20 out here can't even be $300 a month. So he must have had a hot tip, because who else, if you've never bought a storage unit before and you're not seen, no one recognizes you, why are you dropping $4,000 on a unit?
Unless you're a rookie.
You're not going to stick around long if you're not. I mean, who knows? I think he had an inside tip. I think someone had said, hey, this is so-and-so's unit. It's well worth it. Take it. Whatever you can get it for, it's going to pay you out. But while they were haggling and bidding on those two, or that unit, three more went off the block. Because this is a real auction site where if you put a bid in the last 3 minutes, then it goes another 3 minutes. So they keep tacking on, so like a true auction. So while they were doing that, two others' units ended, and I got both of them because nobody else was paying attention to them. So I got to go clean those out today. They're a little junkier, but we'll see. I think I paid $200 a piece for them. They're 10 by 10, so I get to move refrigerator and dirty mattresses. I'm so excited. 110, and I get to move dirty mattresses.
No crusty couches?
There is a couch. I don't know if it's crusty yet. We'll see.
Oh, it has to be crusty.
It doesn't have to be. I'd prefer if it wasn't crusty. It looks like it's black leather or pleather. I'm hoping it's leather, because maybe Chelsea will appreciate it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Chelsea.
We'll try. I'll have you come over, we can move couches again. That's about all there is for auction stuff. As podcast goes, I have been trying to get our podcast out there. And the easiest way to do that, for me at least, is on Instagram. I just basically spam people. I don't use bots or anything, and I'm not really spamming them. I actually check out their Instagram page, but I'll find people that hashtag reselling or hashtag thrift stores or hashtag storage auctions. And I'll go on their page and just say, hey, and the one I used for this particular story is, please check out our new podcast, The Completely Mental Misadventure of a Thrift Store, on iTunes. It includes tips on finding big ticket items while thrifting and what happens behind the scenes of a thrift store when buying and selling units at auction. Thank you so much. If it's not something you are interested in, no harm, no foul. Please, good luck out there. Happy hunting and have a good life. So I try to be cool about it. I'm not trying to spam anybody. I just, sometimes people like them, sometimes they don't. Well, there's this website, or this Instagram guy, and I followed him for a while. He's out of LA, and so I posted that on his page, and the response that went back and forth is well worth the read, so bear with me as I read this. So I posted what I just read to you, and his first response was, I started doing this in the early 90s, remember that, that's going to be important, when thrift stores were honest and didn't pull the auction crap, and I'm not a supporter. At least 85% of you people got tips to achieve your knowledge from me. Where are my royalties? Seriously. And I was like, wow, that's aggressive. And I was trying to be cool because he's got quite a few followers and I don't want them to come after me or whatever. And I just said, hey, you know, people have been buying and selling antiques since before the 90s. I agree that most thrift stores pull their good stuff they know and they sell them online. But realistically, they don't know anything, and the trick is to be one step ahead of them. People that thrift tend to know one or two areas of the shop, be it clothing, mid-century modern, jewelry, etc., but there's a lot more that people walk right past because they don't know. Maybe my podcast can help them, or you. Why hate on me? He said, I'm going to start my own podcast on the love of design and the hunting and the open road and the untold history of California modern design. I live it. I wear vintage socks in my life, my music, my culture. The only not late 50s about me is my cell phone. Okay, so he's 50, is what he's trying to say. I said, go for it. Remember, the knowledge you have that you don't impart on others dies with you. I absolutely love what I do. I stumble a lot because I never knew what I would find, and I can help someone if I can. I just try to help out when I can. And then some other dude chimed in and said, cool, I've been looking for a burglary podcast. And I was like, wow, what's going on here? So I continued on with, I said, well, at this point now I'm starting to get a little twisted. Because the main moderator on this Instagram said, mid-century is for weirdos, trans community, rock and rollers, artist freaks, people outcast by society. Not Trump supporters living in tract homes trying to pay their extra Ford Fiesta payment or their Ford F-150 payment. And so my last response on this, I believe, was, I'm curious about the honesty you speak of in the 90s. Do you mean when you could rip them off because they didn't know what they had because they were selling? They didn't know what they were selling because they had no internet? I mean you in the proverbial sense, not you personally, because I'm sure you were honest with them and told them that they were underpricing things. And how can you say you don't support charities trying to make as much as they can for their charity? So I don't understand that, and that's been always my thought with thrift stores and garage sales. It's another avenue, and one of the other podcasts put it very succinctly that their way of justifying what they do is there's a level playing field. Everybody has access to the internet now, and now it's on their phone, so they should know what they're pricing and what something is worth. It's like, okay, that's fair. It's the same as me justifying, hey, you should have paid your bills. It is what it is. Life is what it is, and you move on. However, to say that you were doing it in the 90s and that everybody got their tips from you, all of a sudden antique collecting started in the 90s, apparently. I didn't realize that.
I feel like he was the original hipster.
I feel like he is the mid-century god. I think like he was mid-century when mid-century was new. I don't know. And then the funny thing about that is how he said it's for all the transgender community and artists and rock and rollers. His stuff, and I pointed this out. I was like, dude, you cannot claim that group of people because he has a mid-century. The post that this was on was a mid-century table. It was a resin table on a silver chrome pedestal, and he wanted $20,000 for it. $20,000. I said, I don't know that the artist community or rock and rollers or your freak lifestyle are going to afford $20,000. You're looking for the Trump supporters or the people that have, and this doesn't need to be political. I am not affiliated with any political party whatsoever. Frankie wants to talk politics, he's more than welcome to. I will not. Business is business and politics do not belong in business, and that's all I'm going to say on that. But you want those rich people, not the starving artists. Those starving artists can be like, wow, here's $20,000 for a table. So
I will not talk politics.
I think that's a pretty smart choice.
I'm not a political guy.
No, you're not.
Oh, let's talk about the burglar comment, burglar podcast. Do you think he listened to the podcast before he made that comment?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
I thought of it as soon as he said it.
No, there's no way, because it came out so fast. Like this interaction was all within 5 or 10 minutes, so there's no way he could have read that, or saw it, read it, listened to a podcast, and then came back, because that podcast is 35 minutes long.
What if he followed you before that comment was posted.
No, I feel like there was something, because I screenshotted all those, but I feel like I missed one of the screenshots. I don't remember what it was, but I think he was just coming at me because he thought that I was robbing people by doing storage auctions. And I, again, everybody justifies things differently.
True.
But I can't. You can't tell me that this guy from the 90s is running around thrift stores buying up $20,000 tables for $100 and selling you. There's just not that much. There's not that much niche for that market. I mean, you'd have to spend 40 hours driving around all over Southern California to find that much shit. No, he's going to estates and wiping out their collection. Or he's probably got quite an extensive inventory, too, because how often do you sell a $20,000 table?
Exactly.
So maybe he does. Maybe he's got a large clientele. Maybe he's a swell guy.
That's what I got from reading his comments.
Yeah. So I had posted something on a following comment of his, too, because he posted something. He had some sort of heavily wood-carved, fantastic mid-century modern door. It was really cool. And it was also like $15,000 or something. And I said, yeah, that'll look great in an artist's loft. And his response was, yeah, when those artists start selling their work and become fat and rich, then they can afford my stuff. And I said, do you even remember our earlier conversation? Because this was like 2 days later or something. And he didn't respond. So he's a little confused.
I'm sure he went back to read the comments of what the conversation was about.
He deleted the entire conversation. That's why I screenshot it, because I figured he would, because I shut his ass down.
You're good at that.
Sometimes. I have my moments. 20 years of bartending will do that to you.
Yeah.
You get beat up enough, eventually you start fighting. That takes us to the end of another episode of the Completely Mental Misadventures of a Thrift Store. Remember, if you have any questions or comments or want us to talk about anything or have any subjects, shoot us an email at finderslq@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at finders_thrift. If you're a record collector, finders_vinyl. And you can get us on the website, finderthrift.com. Thanks, as always, to Bear Market Riot for letting us using their music. And thank you to Tyree Jesse for doing the interview. If you want to see his pictures, once again, they are up on finderthrift.com. And we'll keep you posted on how his artwork is doing and how he's doing. As always, good luck out there and happy hunting.